and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of It Came From Beneath the Sink by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm recording this one actually laying in bed really intelligently with the tripod sitting on the bed with the Zoom H1. Franklin's to my left on the ground eating food. Scarlet is on the floor rubbing against my feet. I was going to give the notice to the kids, you know, like, hey, this is for adults. But my most recent review on iTunes was the kid being like, they had a lot of swearing in this and I don't like that. So, as I'm officially marked as explicit, and he had to know that prior to signing up, motherfuck you, motherfuck Dre, motherfuck Snoop, motherfuck Death Row, fuck your stupid mom, you fucking cunt. Fuck off. I can say whatever I want now. Swag. Came from beneath the sink. Remember there was like a gruel, which was like a monster that made people like bummed out or some shit? And now his fucking stupid hippie ass aunt showed up. You know, we're all just having a good time here. I'm drinking a Sierra Nevada Torpedo Extra IPA. And I'm Dune, you know? I'm on a whole bunch of new podcasts that are all around. So there's a bunch more of Dune and Geo Watch stuff. Then I was just on there. Will be spoilers and new comics online and new fucking what else? Pod gods and other shit. Let's hope I remember to edit out the awkward pauses. Chapter 16. Aunt Louise picked up the gruel and placed it in the palm of her hand. She studied it for a long while. Then she turned to me. Cat, it's only a dried-up sponge. What's the big deal? But...
Booty, 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 rocking everywhere, I sputtered.
Oh, I get it, she laughed. You really had me fooled. I thought you were serious. She tossed the gruel to me. I tried to catch it, but I did not want to touch it. It plopped on the floor. Pretty funny, kid, she chuckled as she turned to leave. You have a great imagination, just like your aunt. Me, I'm your aunt. I'm smart. I have lots of imagination. I eat a thing called LSD and it makes me see things because I have no responsibilities like Franklin. I picked up the gruel and examined it closely. Not warm, not breathing, not moving at all. Dry and hard, an ordinary sponge. Aunt Louise thought I was joking, but the joke was on me. Nice writing, RL. Thanks, dude. You're my best friend, R.L. Stine. You're my best friend, Dune. Yay! And then we ride off together on quads. The gruel had tricked me again. I hurled the creature back into the gerbil cage, which is also what I call my ass. It laid there lifeless. I hope you rot in there, I exploded. Before my amazed eyes, the dry, brown sponge began plumping up. In a few seconds, it became fuller and moister. Yuck! I groaned, watching it turn pink and then red. The gruel huffed and puffed. Woo-ha! Woo-ha! Those little black eyes peered out at me excitedly. The gruel snickered softly. Why was it so pleased with itself? I wondered. Nothing horrible had happened. Or had it? I thought of Dad's fall off the ladder. The tree branch. Miss Vanderhoof's fingers. Killer running away. My spoiled birthday party. Our dry, rotted backyard. It was all too much. Too much! With a desperate cry, I yanked the evil thing out of its cage, then I slammed it down hard on my desk. Breathing hard, my heart pounding, I grabbed one of my heaviest textbooks, and I slammed it down on the gruel.
Die! I shouted. Please, die!
Da, 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 my gruel, don't utter a single word. Da, 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 my gruel, I'll be seeing you again. All right, hey ladies, I'll be seeing you in hell.
Well, seriously, the entire reason I do this podcast now is so someone's going to randomly contact me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com and be like, hey, I heard your podcast. What really grabbed me was the fact that you would be an excellent singer in a Misfits Lounge cover band. Come on down, Dune. And then you could banter between songs and wear a tuxedo, but have the tie undone and just feel really bad about yourself and drink as much as you currently drink. Because that's really my goal at this point. It's to move to Vegas and sing in a Misfits Lounge cover band. I raised the book high, pounded the gruel with it. Again. I'm actually going to Vegas this Friday with a girlfriend for my brother's 30th birthday. I've said too much about my personal life. You now know I have a brother who's 30. I pounded hard enough to kill anything. Finally, I stopped, gasping for breath. My arms aching, I stared down at what I'd done. Yuck! What a mess! Brown and pink shreds of gruel littered my desk. I had smashed it to pieces. Like the piece of feces that he is. God, I'm like Eminem. I just make the rhymes up. My palms are sweaty. My back is hairy. I'll smack Larry. It's the name of my girlfriend's dad. I wouldn't smack him because I respect him. But I'd still dissect. Fuck! What am I doing? I haven't finished a goddamn chapter. Oh, God. I need to stop eating mini-thins from the gas station. They can make my brain all crazy. Yes, I cried breathlessly. Yes, finally, I'd finally destroyed the evil creature. Yes, I cried again, but the cry stuck in my throat. As the pink and brown shreds started to move, I stared down in horror and began to shake all over. Chapter 17. Whoa! This can't be happening, I whispered. But it was. The pieces, the shreds of gruel, they were sliding across the desktop, slithering, rolling together, coming back together, forming a brown ball, a sponge. It didn't take long, a minute at the most, and now the gruel stared up at me again, and it vibrated so hard that my desk actually began to rock. Its cruel snicker cut through my shocked silence. Franklin. Bro, be nice to the kitty. Its cruel snicker cut through my shocked silence. Shut up, I screamed, but it snickered even louder. Frantic, I grabbed a dirty sock from the clothes hamper. I used it to pick up the gruel, and then I hurled the thing back into the cage. With a cry, I threw myself face down on my bed and covered my ears. Will I have this bad luck for the rest of my life? Is there anything I can do? Bro, Franklin, be nice to the cat. She keeps coming back and purring and rubbing on my feet and being a sweetheart, and you're being a douche nozzle. You stop it. Do you want me to take your food away? No, of course you don't. And I would never do that, because I'm bad with discipline. I love you. I'm sorry I got mad at you. Want me to go get you some Cold Stone you later? You want to go to Cold Stone? Get a cake batter. Yeah, no chocolate because that'll kill you. Yeah. Okay. I was so frightened, so angry, so confused. I couldn't even pretend to be my usual cheery self. When Aunt Louise took me and Daniel out to an ice cream parlor, oh my God, Franklin, that's what we're gonna do. Because I feel bad about yelling at you, we're going to the Cold Stone Creamery down the street. Oh God, now you know my girlfriend's dad's name, my brother's age, and the fact that I live near Cold Stone. Oh my goodness. Too much personal information. I couldn't even finish a small butterscotch sundae. Usually I'm good for a triple decker. That's when you poop inside the actual pipe going into the toilet water. It's a pretty advanced pooping maneuver. But how could I ever be happy again? I was stuck with the gruel forever. Wake up, cat, wake up! A frantic voice whispered in my ear. I slowly raised my head off the pillow. Huh? Daniel was waving his book bag back and forth about an inch above my stupid girl head. Get that away! I shouted, grabbing for it. Hey, I'm only trying to help you. he replied, snatching the pack away. You're going to be late for school. You'd better get moving. He ran out of the room. I tore the covers off and raced to the closet, trying to hide my female equivalent of a morning wood that Dune doesn't fully understand. I slipped on my Save the Earth sweatshirt and purple flowered leggings. You're sure doing a lot, Cat. You're saving the earth because you bought a sweatshirt made in a sweatshop. Maybe it's made by American Apparel. Then I remembered. Daniel, you little dweeb, I bellowed. We have no school today. There's a teacher's conference. He peeked back into my room. Gotcha, he gloated. I hurled a pillow at his head and hit him in the fucking face. A nice shot. You're a bad sport, he said, laughing. Carlo's coming over for breakfast. He can play Mega Monster Warriors. See, the kid's name's Carlo, but it was Carlo apostrophe S, as in Carlo is. His name is not Carlos. That was an important tidbit. I slammed the door in his stupid, fat, fucking ugly face. Daniel's stupid tricks usually don't bother me too much, and a day off from school always puts me in a great mood. But how could I enjoy myself? I just kept wondering what bad thing was going to happen next. What bad luck would the evil gruel bring today? After breakfast, I hung around on the back porch like an African-American reading Ebony magazine and trying to ignore Daniel's and Carlo's shrieks and wild laughter as they played computer games. I really missed Killer. He usually sits next to me when I read, like Franklin's doing right now, huh? Aw, I'm touching Franklin. He's a good dog. He's a good dog. He really is. After about an hour, I got bored. I decided to go up to my room and work on my social studies assignment. I had to write an essay for Miss Vanderhoff, my family and what they mean to me. But I kept thinking about the gruel and how it was totally ruining my family. So far, all I'd written was, I'm Cat Merton, and my family means an awful lot to me. Yeah, that's fucking terrible. I can do an essay way better than that. Not exactly grade A beef, and the paper was due tomorrow morning. I decided to take a break. I went to the kitchen and poured myself a glass of chocolate milk and grabbed a handful of oatmeal cookies. On my way back upstairs, I peeked into the den. Things seemed very quiet in there. I didn't see Carlo, only Daniel, playing Underwater Adventure Quest. Where is Carlo? I asked. Dan replied, his eyes glued to the submarines and torpedoes flashing across the computer screen. Was my question too hard for you, asshole? I asked sarcastically. I'll go slower now. Where is Carlo? Home, he mumbled. Did he get mad because you sank more enemy submarines than he did? I joked. Daniel didn't answer. I headed upstairs to my room. I set down my milk and cookies. I couldn't help but glance at the gerbil cage. It wasn't what I saw that made a prickle of fear run down my back. It was what I didn't see. The cage stood empty. The gruel was gone. Escaped. Grabbing some beer. A lot of kids think that I encourage drinking on this podcast, and I really, really don't. Well, I am saying that I do it every single day, and I've never regretted a single sip of alcohol I've ever consumed, and I've never had any negative problems in my personal life or health-wise or legally or anything like that. To be honest, my life is just absolutely incredible. But you shouldn't drink because... Chapter 18... How had it escaped? The gruel had never even tried to get out of this cage before. In fact, the stupid sponge never seemed very interested in going anywhere. Why did it disappear now? And where did it go? And what kind of trouble was it planning to make? It couldn't get very far, I told myself. It had no legs. It had no legs, Scarlet. The cat is now smelling the microphone. Hi, sweetheart.
Don't go back there.
Now she's smelling the back of the microphone.
The cat's super cute. She's really, really short for a cat, so she looks like a kitten all the time and has like a stubby face like a kitten. And it looks like a kitten because she has giant paws with reary toes and like 50 toes on each foot. Point is, my cat looks like a kitten always. What the fuck am I rambling about? I started to call Daniel, but my throat choked with panic. I frantically started to search for the gruel. I slid on my stomach under the bed. Not there. I pulled everything out of my chest. I opened the dresser drawers. No sign of it. I checked every inch of the room. I even called out to it. Here, gruel. Here, gruel. No. No way. The creature was gone. The words of the Encyclopedia of the Weird suddenly flash into my mind. Anyone who gives the gruel away will die within one day. Daniel, I shrieked. Daniel, son! I tore down the stairs into the TV room. I shook him so hard he dropped his computer mouse. That meant his penis. The gruel is gone, I cried. It escaped. Daniel turned away from the computer screen. Excuse me? What do you mean, gone? It's gone. The cage is empty, I wailed. Daniel scrunched up his face, thinking hard. I know where it is, he said. Carlo. Huh? I cried. How could you? How could you let Carlo take it? I didn't let him take it, Daniel snapped. He's Hispanic. He takes things. It's part of their culture. God, you're so insensitive. He must have grabbed it when he left. Carlo thinks it's all a big joke. He said there's no way a little sponge could do anything bad. What a jerk, I sputtered. Maybe we should let him keep the gruel. It would teach him a lesson. A real nasty lesson. Cat, we can't, Daniel exclaimed. He's my best friend. We have to get the gruel back from him before something terrible happens. Daniel and I pulled our jackets out of the hall closet. Then we ran out to the garage. We jumped on our bikes and pedaled furiously down Maple Lane. Where do you think he went? I shouted. Let's try the school playground, Daniel suggested. There's always a bunch of kids there. Yeah, and Carlo's a big show-off, I exclaimed. He probably went straight to the playground to show off the gruel. He is not a show-off, Daniel protested. Is too, I argued like a bitch. Pedaling furiously, I shot way ahead of Daniel. I made it to Chestnut Street a few minutes later. Only two more blocks, I called breathlessly. I slowed down so that Daniel could catch up. I turned the corner. Oh no, I screamed. I squeezed on the brakes, stopped short. Who was that lying in the middle of the street? Was it Carlo? Yes. Carlo sprawled on his stomach, his arms and legs stretched over the pavement. We're too late, Daniel cried. We're too late. E-cigarette and then going to beer. Yeah, turn 19. Our bikes crashed to the ground as Daniel and I leaped off them. We bent over Carlo, calling his name. Oh, wow. Carlo let out a low moan. He clutched his right leg. Carlo, I yelled breathlessly. What is it? What happened? Are you okay? Carlo bent his leg carefully and winced. My knee really hurts, Mang. I twisted it when I fell off my bike, Mang. I looked up and saw his bike on the right side under a tree. How did it happen? Daniel asked weakly. My brother hates the sight of blood. Some of the older kids, they wanted to race me, Mang, Carlo groaned. I didn't really want to race them, but they dared me, Mang. He sat up, still rubbing his knee. Mang, I was flying, Mang. Then, well, I hit some gravel, and then I skidded into a tree. These kids all thought there was a riot. They just drove off and left me, Mang. Daniel, help me get up. Daniel, help me get him up, I instructed. We put our arms around Carlo and guided him over to the curb. Then we just sat there, staring at Carlo's mangled bicycle. The handlebars looked like a giant metal pretzel. You know what, man? Carlo finally said. I didn't see that stupid tree until I was right on top of it, man.
Daniel poked me. I knew what he was thinking. The gruel strikes again. We had to get the gruel back. Carlo, where is the gruel? I asked.
Right there in my bike basket, man.
He pointed. I reached over to the tangled handlebars and felt around the basket with my hand. And felt, again, nothing in the basket. Completely empty. Carlo, give me a break, I complained. There's no gruel in there. Where is it? My voice got high and shrill. I could feel the panic sweeping over me.
Huh? Man? It's got to be there, man, Carlo declared. That's where I stuck it. I was going to take it right home.
Oh, sure, Carlo, I snapped. Like you weren't going to bring it to the playground and show it off. Carlo hung his head.
Well, maybe for a couple minutes. I have so many siblings, and my parents do not pay attention to me. That's why I go to the playground, so people pay attention to me. It is important to wait to have kids until you are 100% ready to support them, both financially and emotionally. Mang.
What the fuck is wrong with me? Great, just great, I fumed. Because of you, the gruel is missing. Daniel leaned close to me, his face pale with fear. We've got to find the gruel, Cat, he whispered. Remember what the encyclopedia said. If you don't find it in a day, you'll die. I remember, I replied with a shudder. But how are we going to find it? Where can it be?
Chapter 20.
I don't even know where to start looking, I sighed. Maybe it fell out of the basket when I hit the tree.
Mang, Carlo suggested. Maybe it rolled somewhere, like around here.
Daniel tugged on my sleeve. Come on, he urged. Let's start looking. Carlo looked up. I better get home, he said. He limped away. Luckily, his house was on the next block, in Little Barrio. Barrito. Daniel and I hunted all over the block. In doorways, underneath cars, in flower beds, anywhere the gruel might have rolled. No fucking luck. As we were about to give up, I spotted a sewer grate. Sewer grating? A few feet away from Carlo's bike. You mean sewer grate, right? Could the gruel have tumbled down there? Is there even Wi-Fi? How does it have a Tumblr account? Daniel saw the sewer, too. Cat, I'll bet it rolled down into the sewer. It's down there, I know it is. I dropped to the pavement on my stomach. I peered into the darkness through the grating.
It's way too dark to see anything, I reported. Somebody will have to go down there.
Somebody? Maybe I could go? My brother offered in a shaky voice. Daniel acts really brave, but I know he's afraid of a lot of things, like dark sewers and dark people. He'd freak out down in the sewer. No, I'll do it, I said. The gruel knows me better. We lifted off the heavy grate. I felt around with my sneaker. It slid against a narrow ladder built into the side of the sewer.
I guess this is the only way down, I said softly. Here I go!
Slowly, I lowered myself into the dark, wet hole. The ladder rungs were wet and slippery. The walls were thick with sewer slime. This place really stinks, I called up. I can't believe I'm doing this. Also, by sewer slime, she meant human feces.
Squish!
As I reached the sewer floor, my sneaker landed on something wet and oozy.
Gross!
I screamed, pulling my foot back up.
Are you okay?
Daniel called from above. He sounded 10 miles away. Yeah, I shouted back. I think I stepped in a pile of shit. Wow, it's really dark down here. I carefully touched my feet down again and gripped the ladder tightly with one hand, afraid I would never find my way back if I let go. It's too dark, I realized. I'll never find the gruel down here. Then I heard it.
Woo-wah! Woo-wah!
Breathing.
Woo, ha, woo, ha. The gruel? But where? I held my breath and stood completely still. I concentrated very hard, trying to figure out exactly where the inky blackness the breathing came from. Woo ha! Woo ha! Oh, my cat came when I made that sound. Somewhere to my right? I knew I had to walk over there and snatch the gruel, but I was afraid to let go of the ladder. Finally, I decided to count my steps there, find the gruel, then count the same number of steps back to the ladder. I swallowed hard and let go of the ladder. I stepped into the blackness and started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4... Get your woman on the floor. Gotta get up to get down. Coolio songs. The breathing sounded a little closer. 5, 6. I stopped. I listened hard. Huh? I cried to myself. What's that scratching sound? Then I saw the eyes. Not the gruel's small round eyes. Big, bright eyes. Several pairs of them. All glowing at me in the dark. I'm gonna take a quick break. Heyo! Sorry, I just did that thing where you're really busy and enthralled with recording bootleg audiobooks, and then you stop in the other room for a second, then you put it on the computer, and then somehow, like, a minute and a half later, you have the Wikipedia page for living fossils open, and like 30 tabs of all sorts of animals. You're like, oh fuck, I just saw that at the zoo the other day. Oh my god. And then you end up bidding on horseshoe crab shells on eBay. Because that's what I did in the time since I was last reading, which was only about 15 minutes ago. Chapter 21. The scratching grew louder. The eyes stared up at me. Yellow eyes. Asian eyes. Glowing in the darkness. I heard a creature scrabble over the floor. It actually says scrabble, not scramble. Apparently, the creature was playing Words with Friends, am I right? I'm drawing something. It's a conclusion. Felt something warm and furry brush against my leg. Were they raccoons? Rats? I didn't want to know. Another one brushed up against me. They were all starting to scrape around on the sewer floor. They were growing restless. I forced myself to breathe. Turned and started to run. Get me out of here, I thought. Get me out of here before they attack. My sneaker slid over the damp, slimy floor. Please let me find my way out of here, I prayed as I stumbled through the darkness. My knee slammed into something hard. I cried out and reached for something to lean on and caught hold of the ladder. Yes! Yes! I cried happily. Ignoring my throbbing knee, I scrambled up the slimy rungs, up, up, up toward the light. Daniel, help me out! I cried. Daniel leaned down and grabbed my hands. He helped pull me out of that awful hole. I fell to the pavement and nearly sobbed with relief. Daniel dropped down next to me. Did you get it? He asked eagerly. Did you find it? I wiped my sludge-covered hands. Once again, the sludge is shit. It's human shit. It's diarrhea. That's what she's rubbing on her jeans. It's fucking diarrhea. No, I told him. No gruel. I should have gone down there, he declared. I definitely would have found it. You definitely would have been terrified, I replied angrily. There were animals down there. Rats, maybe. Dozens of them. Yeah, sure, he said, rolling his eyes. He sighed. Now, what do we do? He kicked a pebble across the street. I sighed. As Dune checked to see if the recording was going, which it is. Don't worry. We'll find the gruel. But how? He cried. We can't find Killer. But we'll never find that little sponge. I had never seen Daniel this upset. Daniel, the police will find Killer. I know they will, I said softly. We must have missed the sponge, he said, ignoring my words. We have to check everywhere again. We started to search again. In the street, in the grass, behind the hedges, under the trees. Carlo appeared as we were about to give up. He was walking fine. He examined his mangled bike. Then he helped us with our search. The afternoon sun was setting behind the trees. The air felt cooler. Evening was approaching. I sank down on the sidewalk, feeling totally hopeless. The warning in the encyclopedia kept running through my mind. Was it possible? Could it be true? If we didn't find the gruel, would my life really be over by tomorrow? There it is, Daniel excitedly shouted. Daniel's excited shout interrupted my frightening thoughts. There it is, my brother cried happily. I see it. I see the gruel. All right, my throat is starting to hurt, and my reading is getting off. And kids, you know what helps you read better? The hoppiness of good old Torpedo Extra IPA. Gurgling beer makes me feel like the guy from Revenge of the Nerds. Was it like an animal or something? Biff? Barf? Yoplay presents Danimals. Whatever. The only thing we'll go, Nerds! Ogre! Hey, I figured that one out. Chapter 22! Yeah, got my voice back. But do I got my old thinker back? Let's find out. Daniel took off, running full speed. Way to go! My heart pounding as I leaped up from the sidewalk. You are the most awesome brother in the entire universe. I was so excited and happy, I threw my arms around Carlo. He saved my life. I shouted, he saved my life. Hey, give me a break, man, Carlo cried, squirming away. I hurried after Daniel. I watched him bend down to pick something up like Beckham. Something small and round and brown. Uh-oh. It's a turd. But a gust of wind rolled the gruel away from him. Hey, he cried out. He stumbled after it. The wind blew it out of his reach. Gotcha, Daniel cried, pouncing on it. Bring it here, I yelled. Oh, wow, he murmured. His face fell. Sorry about that. It's not the gruel. I grabbed the thing from his hands. No, it's not, I whispered sadly. Not the gruel. Only a brown paper bag all wadded up in a ball. Daniel hurled the paper bag to the ground and stomped on it, which is against the law. You should always pick up your litter. And you can drive even if you've had more than a couple drinks. Full of good legal advice. My stomach lurched. I felt really sick. Time is running out, I thought, and we have no idea where the gruel might be. I thought you heard it in the sewer. A tear came to my eye. I blinked it away quickly. I didn't want Daniel or Carlo to see how scared I was. The panic rose in my chest. Would I really die if I didn't find this creature? I suddenly pictured Mom and Dad sitting around and crying and missing me. I pictured Aunt Louise wailing, "It's all my fault! I didn't believe her!" I imagined Daniel walking to school, all alone. I gazed down at my brother, who slumped sadly on the curb with Carlo, and I had a truly terrifying idea. Maybe the gruel wasn't lost. Maybe the creepy little creature had decided to hide from me so it could perform the most evil trick of all. A gay wedding. Hide for 24 hours so that I'd have the ultimate bad luck. Death. Carlo startled me by jumping to his feet. His dark eyes glowed excitedly. Hey, I got an idea, man. An idea? I demanded. What kind of idea? He smiled at me and grabbed my arm. Come on, hurry. I think I might know where the gruel might be. I wonder where it is.
Do you wonder where it is too, listener? Just restraining goosebumps, that's what I do.
Apparently bi-monthly, that's what I do now. It's chapter 23. I don't need to sing. It's chapter 23. That's the chapter.
You know those guys who raced me, man? Carlo asked, tugging me forward along the street. The ones who hang out at the playground and sell crack cocaine, man?
Yeah, what about them? I asked.
I'll bet one of them picked up the gruel, man. I kind of remember...
Daniel didn't even wait for Carlo to finish the sentence or even say, "Meng,
let's go," he shouted. He sprang onto his bike and raced off towards the playground. I picked up my bike and started pedaling after my brother. Carlo ran behind us, calling, "Wait up! Wait up!" We pedaled to the playground and walked our bikes to the baseball field. That's where the older kids usually hang out.
There they are, Meng.
Carlo said. He pointed to a group of boys, taking turns batting and fielding balls, because that's what teenage boys who steal things do.
Carlo!
Oh, sorry, this is what Daniel's whispering.
Carlo!
Daniel whispered nervously.
Those guys are really big. They look like they're in high school.
I spotted two older boys standing on the side of the baseball field. Their heads were bent, and they were staring at something in the taller boy's hands. Something small, and round, and brown.
The gruel!
I ran up to them. Hey, how's it going? I said in my friendliest voice. I know this sounds dumb, but you've got my favorite sponge. Can I have it back?
The tall boy narrowed his eyes at me, which was quite a task because he was already Samoan. He was kind of good-looking for a Samoan, with bright green eyes and straight blonde hair over his shoulders, which was a very, very unsettling.
"Your favorite sponge?" he repeated. He grinned. "Sorry, your mistake. This is my favorite sponge."
"No, really," I insisted. "It fell off that kid's bike." I pointed to Carlo. He and Daniel stood watching from a distance. "I really need it."
"Can you prove it's yours?"
the boy demanded. He rolled it around in his hands.
"I don't see your name on it."
He's still the world's smartest Samoan. Do I have any Samoan listeners? If so, I don't want you. Go. I'm giving you time for your fat fucking fingers to turn off an iPod. Oh god, I've gone too far.
No, we must trudge on with the racism.
I narrowed my eyes and gave him my meanest glare.
You'd better give it back to me, I threatened, because it's not really a sponge. It's evil. It brings bad luck to anyone who has it.
Oh, I'm really scared, he teased.
Maybe it's bad luck for you, because you're not getting it back.
He waved the gruel in front of my face, then called to his friends.
Hey, Dave, catch.
Hey, everyone, it's Dave Gruel.
Oh, dude, you're so fun.
He tossed the gruel to Dave.
Here, he snickered. Catch some bad luck.
Hey, give me that. I leaped for the gruel, but the sponge sailed high over my head. Back and forth they threw the gruel, laughing, keeping it high over my head, out of my reach. They were having fun. I wasn't. After 10 minutes of their stupid keep away, I gave up. Fine, I thought. Let them play with the gruel. They would soon find out that it didn't play fair, I thought nastily. As I backed off, I shouted at the two older boys,
"You'll be sorry."
The blonde guy shrugged his shoulders, laughed, and hurried off to take his turn at bat. He made a big show of tucking the sponge into his back pocket, where he knew I couldn't get it. He stepped to the plate, crouched in a batter stance. Thwonk. The first pitch beamed the guy in the head. His eyes rolled around wildly. He wobbled, then sank to the ground. He collapsed in a heap and didn't move.
Help! The other boys were shouting. Somebody help!
The gruel had done its work. The bad luck had struck again.
Is he okay? Daniel asked. Is he?
I didn't answer. I saw the gruel
roll out of the boy's back pocket and onto the ground. I darted forward and dove for the evil sponge, my hands closed around dry grass. Dave, the blonde boy's friend, snatched the gruel before I could reach it.
"Go chase it,"
he cried, and heaved the little creature high into the sky. Oh my goodness, so much bad luck. So much bad luck. And wait, if you're in possession of the gruel, and then you don't have it for 24 hours, you die. Does the kid that plays baseball die? Does Aunt Louise die? Does Carlo die? Tune in, everyone. Same Dune minute, same Dune podcasts. I'm not stopping. I'm just going to have some beer. I made a desperate grab, but Dave was much taller than me. He caught the gruel easily.
"Here, take it,"
he said. He tossed it at me. Then he hurried over to check on his friend. The blonde boy was sitting up now, rubbing his head.
"I'm okay," he kept repeating. "Really, I'm okay. What hit me?"
Daniel and I hurried to our bikes. Carlo came running after us. I tossed the gruel into my bike basket. The sponge creature pulsed so violently that the basket shook as I rode. Its body changed from red to black, changing in time to its horrible breathing. Ba-boom! Ba-boom! It snickered with joy. It acted so pleased with itself, so happy to knock the blonde boy out. "You're disgusting," I shouted. "I'm taking you home and locking you in that cage." I pedaled rapidly, standing up for an extra boost of speed. Home, I thought. Get me home. I zoomed down Oak Street, hunched over the bike with my head down. Faster, faster, I pedaled. The wind whipped my hair into my eyes. I heard Daniel calling out from behind me, but I was riding too fast. The wind rushed past me. I couldn't make out Daniel's words. I heard him call out again, and then I heard the blare of a horn, and the shrill of squeal of dawn, and the shrill squeal of brakes. I turned around in time to see an enormous black and silver truck skidding over the street, about to crush me like a bug. Like a bug. Like a bug. Checking my phone. Texting back my girlfriend. I'm gonna go silent for a bit so I remember to edit this out. Chapter 25. I squeezed my brakes hard. The truck skidded up behind me, tires scraping the pavement, horn blaring. My bike lurched to a stop and I tumbled off. I hit the pavement hard on my elbows and knees. The bike bounced on the curb, toppled over. I rolled on the grass as the truck swerved away, squealed to a stop, missed me by less than a foot. I climbed shakily to my feet and stood there on the side of the road, too terrified to move. I turned to see the truck driver toss open the door of his cab. "What are you doing in the middle of the goddamn street?" he shouted at me. "I could have killed you. I could have fucked you. Do your parents know you're out here like this? Because I'd like to know if your parents know where you are. Because of the previous thing I said." Never mind. Great, I thought bitterly. First the guy almost squashes me into a pancake. Then he yells at me. Sorry, I called. What else could I say? I waited for the truck driver to back up and drive away. And all the time I kept thinking, bad luck forever. I'm gonna have bad luck forever. I called to Daniel and Carlo that I was okay. Then I raced down Oak Street and turned onto Maple. Only two houses to go, I thought. I pushed down hard on the pedals. Blam! My front tire hit something. A broken bottle, I think. The bike toppled on its side and I fell on it. "Ow!" I cried. I'm spending a lot of time on the ground, I realized. I examined the tire, completely shredded.
Bad luck. Bad luck forever. I heard the gruel's wicked laugh. The sound filled me with rage. I kicked the bicycle and stubbed my toe on the metal wheel rim. Ow! I yelped, grabbing my foot. Bad luck. Bad luck forever. With a furious cry, I grabbed the evil sponge and flung it to the ground. Then I jumped back on my bike and started to run over the gruel. Back and forth, back and forth, squishing the evil creature to the ground. Stop it! Stop! Daniel screamed, riding up onto the grass. You can't kill the gruel! You're only giving it what it wants! I glared at my brother. I struggled to catch my breath. Look at it, Daniel shouted, pointing. The gruel is getting even more excited. You're helping it, not hurting it. I lowered my eyes to those of the gruel. It pulsed faster than before. An evil light shone from its ugly little eyes. Its blood red, bloody, it's bloody. Fix your brain, Mr. Dune.
I feel really bad right now because when we were kids or teenagers or whatever they are, we used to drink a lot of 40-ounce malt beverages. As opposed to now where I drink a lot of tall cans. And we would drink them, and then we would throw them up in the air as high as we could and just let them go pop and shatter and just shoot glass everywhere. And at the time, we were teenagers, and teenagers are pretty heavy in the YOLO scene, you know what I'm saying? And I feel terrible now, that's all. I'm sure somebody's tire got fucked up, and there's literally no reason for it. We could have just put them in a bush, let a hobo make a nickel off them, but no. Just wanted to see him explode like a firework while we are drunk and stumbling around. Such is life. Its blood-red body gleamed in the afternoon sun. The cruel snicker cut through the air like fingernails on a blackboard. I grabbed my bike and wheeled it to our driveway. I let it fall to the asphalt. Then I ran back to the gruel, gripped it tightly in one hand, and carried it into the house. Daniel followed close behind me. "Now what are you going to do?" he asked. "You'll see," I said. I made my way into the kitchen. My heart pounded. I could feel the blood racing at my temples. I jammed the gruel into the kitchen sink drain. Then I grabbed a wooden spatula and stabbed at the gruel, shoving it deep into the pipe. Daniel stood beside me, watching in silence. I turned the hot water on full force. I flicked a switch next to the sink and smiled at my brother. The garbage disposal gurgled on. The gurgle became a whine. The whine became a roar as the grinding teeth went to work. Yes, I cried happily, yes. A few seconds later, the disposal had ground up the gruel. That's the end of that, I told Daniel, sighing happily. I listened to the pipes run clean. Down the drain. Yay! Carlo came running into the kitchen. What's happening, man? He cried breathlessly. What is the gruel, man? I turned to Carlo, grinning. It's gone. The gruel is gone, I announced gleefully. Then I heard my brother gasp. I saw his mouth drop as he stared down at the sink. No, it's not. His voice was so low I could barely hear him. No, it's not gone, he whispered.
Chapter 26, that's how many years I've been on this godforsaken rock, and I still haven't met Doctor Who.
I lowered my eyes to the sink and realized at once that what had horrified Daniel. The hot water had started to back up. It splashed and spurted up from the drain as if something were pushing it with great force. The hot water churned quickly, rolling up from the pipe below. I don't believe it, man, Carlo cried. The gruel popped up, bobbing in the churning hot water. There it was, still in one piece. It had turned bright purple and angry purple. As I stared down at it in horror, it thumped wildly in the sink. No! I screamed. It's impossible! You can't be back! You can't! God damn it! I grabbed the sopping wet gruel and squeezed it as hard as I could. A river of water ran out of the slimy thing and into the sink. The harder I gripped, the warmer the gruel felt. Warmer and warmer and ow! I dropped it as it became scorching hot. Quickly, I ran my hands under the soothing cold water. The gruel perched on the side of the sink. It throbbed with joy, leering at me with its creepy eyes, and let out an evil crackle. Daniel, Carlo, I moaned. There has to be a way of killing this thing. There has to. Think, guys. But the two of them stared in silence at the throbbing gruel. Come on, Daniel. Think. I waved my hand in front of Daniel's face. Help me. I'm all out of ideas. Suddenly, his eyes came back into focus. I've got an idea, he said quietly. He rushed out of the kitchen. I'll be right back. He shouted, leaving Carlo and me alone with the nasty creature and even nastier hormones. Ooh, yeah, doing sex. I hate you, I shouted at it, but my anger seemed to make it pulse faster. A short while later, Daniel hurried back into the room. Maybe this will help, he announced. He set the Encyclopedia of the Weird on the kitchen table. I borrowed it from the library, he explained. I thought we might need it. He started a search for gruel in the index. Oh, Daniel, I sighed wearily. We've already read everything in that book about gruels. It can't help us. But maybe you missed something important. Mang? Carlo insisted. Daniel flipped through the passages of the encyclopedia. Here's the part about killing the gruel. He said, let's see what it says. He started reading. The gruel cannot be killed by force or by any violent means. That's it? I demanded. There's nothing else? Daniel slammed the book shut. Nothing else. Cat, it really can't be killed. It's the most evil creature in the world. It can't be killed, god damn it. Not by force, not by violence, not by anything. Not by force, I repeated, thinking hard. Not by violence. I stared at the throbbing purple creature that looked like a giant cock. I couldn't help but smile. Cat, what the fuck is your problem? Daniel demanded. Are you totally losing it? Why are you smiling it? Because the gruel can be killed, I announced, and I've just got to figure out how to do it. Huh? Mang? Carlo cried. You've really figured it out? Mang? What are you going to do? Daniel demanded. You can't kill it. It always comes back to life. I shook my head. We'll see, I replied. I wanted to think my plan through before I explained it to them. Actually, it turned out to be pretty simple. All right, this is where you have to actually donate to get the ending. How much of a dick would I have to be? To give 3 hours a podcast to be like, all right, well, here's the incredibly simple conclusion, but it's going to be $3.99. Sorry, I gotta make a living off this. That's what people... Every time anyone says, like, I gotta make a living off something, they don't have to make a living off. That's my point. They're douchebags. It should be something they're doing out of the passion. You think I haven't just wasted tons of money and, you know, probably years off my life doing this? You know, my liver can't handle it. My throat can't. Fucking A, listeners, I'm gonna die. I've got nothing from this. Nothing. God damn it!
Chapter 27.
I like me so much. Much as I hated to, I picked up the throbbing gruel from the sink and held it gently in my hands. I patted the disgusting creature tenderly on its wrinkled head. Then, I sang to it sweetly.
Lullaby and good night, little gruel. I love you. Please sleep tight, little gruel. La 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 la. la 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 la.
Cat, I'm worried about you, Daniel groaned. Stop it, okay? You're a little messed up. You need to lie down. But I just kept singing as sweetly as I could.
Do, 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 little Gruel, do, having fun with Dune.
What is she doing? Daniel asked Carlo. Do you get it? Carlo shook his head. I didn't pay attention to them. I had to concentrate. I forced myself to stroke the Gruel lovingly. Hey, Dune, what are you doing tonight? I'm just sitting home, stroking the Gruel lovingly. I hugged the slimy thing and cuddled it with my arms, as I would a soft puppy. I cooed in its ear.
Little Gruel, cute Gruel, you are so nice, so sweet, so wonderful. I love you, Gruel.
Cat, please stop, Daniel begged. You're upsetting me. I'm really worried about you, Cat.
How can you pet the thing, Mang? Carlo demanded. It's so gross, Mang.
Sweet Gruel, I whispered, so sweet.
I cuddled it tenderly and stroked its wrinkled skin. Now I'm petting Franklin. I felt like I had to. If this doesn't work, I told myself, nothing will. I'm going to get Mom and Dad, Daniel threatened. He started backing toward the kitchen door. Shh! I raised a finger to my lips. Then I pointed down at the Gruel cradled in my arms.
Look, guys, the Gruel is violent.
Wow, words. The Gruel's violent throbbing had slowed to a gentle pulse. I sang some more, gently, softly, sweetly. And we all watched in amazement as the Gruel's color faded from red to pink. And finally, back to its ordinary, dull brown color. Wow, Daniel whistled. Keep watching, I said, hugging the Gruel closely. I sang another lullaby.
Just laying in bed, reading Goosebumps books, questioning my life and continuing to drink. I can't be broke forever. Maybe I should start doing other stuff besides podcasts, but I don't like anything besides podcasts. Oh, dear God, what am I doing? There needs to be some rich trust fund kid out there who wants to buy me a place and let me keep doing podcasts without being stressed out. And you can have my girlfriend move in, and my dog, and my cat, and my girlfriend's cat, and Superfan Giovanni, and Iggity Iggity Alex the web guy, and Sam to the motherfucking skills with a Z. Yeah.
That was the lullaby.
The Gruel let out a low sigh. I could see it shrinking, seeing it drying up in my arms. Its eyes closed, the dry brown skin covered them up. It's getting weaker, Cat, Daniel whispered excitedly. Keep watching, I told him. Then I cooed to the Gruel.
There, there, little Gruel. What a sweet little Gruel.
I rocked it like a hurricane, or like a baby. The Gruel's breathing slowed, then stopped. The Gruel slumped lifelessly into my hand, not a sound, not a throb, not a twitch. Now, check this out, I announced to Daniel and Carlo. I raised the wrinkled sponge to my face and planted a big, fat kiss on it. Ah, gross, girl kisses! Ah!
This is the 28th chapter.
The two boys made disgusted faces, but I knew what I was doing. I lowered the Gruel from my face and studied it carefully. The sponge let out a long, slow sigh and shrank into a tiny ball. I took a deep breath and blew. The tiny ball flew apart. Dry brown puffs floated into the air. I watched the feathery puffs float to the floor. Then I wiped my hands off on a towel. All done.
It's gone, Mang? Carlo declared. But how? Daniel demanded. Well, you helped give me the idea, I told him.
I did?
Yes, I replied. When you read the part of the encyclopedia that said the gruel can't be killed by force or violence. I smiled. I kept going over that in my mind, and finally it hit me.
What hit you, Mang? Carlo asked.
I knew the gruel couldn't be killed by force or violence, I exclaimed. But what about the opposite? I guess that no one had ever tried being nice to it before. Both boys stared at me in rapt silence. That gave me the idea that being kind was the secret to destroying the gruel, I continued. And it worked. The gruel was so evil that it couldn't stand being loved.
Wow, man!
Carlo breathed. Excellent, Daniel exclaimed. I'm glad I came up with it. Yeah, it's great having a genius in the family, I said sarcastically. I reached into my back pocket and pulled out the $12 my grandma had sent me for my birthday. What do you say we celebrate with some ice cream? I suggested with a grin.
Excellent! The boys cried happily and made air guitars.
Maybe our luck... If you could hear the pages slamming together, that's because I couldn't say the word air guitars and go without making the hand motion, which I did right now also while explaining it.
Rob.
Maybe our luck will change now, I told Daniel. I bet we become the luckiest family on the block. Then I heard it. That familiar, terrifying breathing sound again. I swung around and faced the door. What's that? I cried, my heart sinking. Do you hear it too? Yes, we all heard it. My throat felt dry. Cold chills ran down my back. The breathing grew louder, closer. I didn't kill it, I moaned. It's back! It's back! Hey, I don't want to spoil this for you, but since I'm reading this the first time as well, obviously it's the fucking dog, assholes.
Chapter 29.
Yeah.
Daniel grabbed my hand. I could see the fear in his face. Carlo took a step back from the door. He backed up until he bumped it against the kitchen counter, where we would spend the rest of his life washing dishes. We huddled together in the kitchen, afraid to move, afraid to look. We have no choice, I choked out finally. If it's back, we have to let it in. I took a deep breath. My legs didn't want to carry me, but they felt as if they were made of lead. But I forced myself to the back door. My entire body trembled as I reached for the doorknob and yanked the door open. Oh! I let out a startled cry. Killer gazed up at me, breathing noisily, his stub of a tail wagging furiously. Killer! I yelled joyfully. You're back! I bent down to hug him, but the dog ran past me into the kitchen. Daniel let out a happy cry and pulled the wiggling dog in his arms. Killer covered Daniel's face with wet licks. Our luck has changed, I declared. I looked outside. Wow! Healthy green grass covered the ground. The flowers lifted their drooping heads and burst back in a dazzling color as I watched, just like Alice in Wonderland. All of the gruel's evil seemed to be disappearing. I grabbed Killer and hugged him hard. Killer! Killer! I crooned. You got rid of the gruel. Or I got rid of the gruel. We got rid of the gruel, really. Come on, Daniel cried. Ice cream time. I set Killer back on the floor and kissed him on the head. We'll be back soon, boy, I said, to the ice cream parlor. Daniel shouted as he walked outside. Race you, he cried as he ran down the street. The winner gets a triple-decker sundae. Carlo and I took off after Daniel. I pumped my legs hard and pulled out in front. But at the last minute, Daniel pushed me and tagged the door of the restaurant. I won, Daniel cried happily. We hurried into the ice cream parlor. Table for three, Daniel said with a grin. The waitress seated us, which never happens at ice cream parlors. R.L. Stein, have you ever had ice cream? You ever had fun? You understand how life works? Handed out menus and wiped the table with a sponge.
Yuck! Get that thing out of here! Daniel shrieked. The waitress didn't understand, but we all laughed for the first time in weeks. Don't mind my brother, I said. He's got a thing about sponges. He kicked me under the table and pinched my back hard. The waitress rolled her eyes, then she took our orders. As we shoveled down our sundaes, I realized how hungry I was, and how happy I was. The gruel was gone. Forever. We were so full that we practically rolled back home. Killer! Here, boy! I pushed the back door open and stepped into the kitchen. Hey, Killer, come here. Aren't you glad to see us? Killer didn't turn around. He stood at the sink, growling and wagging his tail. He had his nose pressed up against the cabinet door, trying to push it open. All right, Killer. We had our ice cream. Now it's time for your T-word. I can't say it out loud because Franklin's here. T-R-E-A-T, I said. Franklin, he's starting to learn how to spell, but not very well. He's not very smart. I think he might be on the autism spectrum. It's because he was vaccinated. Jenny McCarthy was right. That's why my dog can't read. That's just hard science right there. I put down a fresh bowl of dog food and added a few small pieces of last night's turkey. Come on, Killer. Dinner time, I called. He growled at the cabinet underneath the sink. What is going on? The dog never walks away from a meal, I thought. Killer, Daniel said. What are you doing under there, Killer? I bent down and petted the dog's back. Killer, there's nothing in there. The gruel is gone. But Killer kept growling. Okay, okay. I yanked the cabinet door open for the dog. See? Killer shoved his head inside. I grabbed him by the scruff on his neck and pulled him out. He carried something in his teeth. What is that, boy? Daniel asked. Killer dropped his find on the floor, then gazed up at me. I picked it up. Something hard. Lumpy. What is it? Daniel asked, stepping close. I breathed a sigh of relief. No problem. It's only a potato. I started to hand it to Daniel, but something sharp pricked my finger. Ow! I cried, startled. I rolled the potato over in my hand. It felt warm. I could feel it breathing. Daniel, I don't like the look of this, I murmured. The potato had a mouth full of teeth! The end. Do you remember on the part end of the first one that we were doing together when the Dune was doing the Goosebumps? I do Goosebumps, and we're there's a book, the Encyclopedia of Herp Derps, that had something else in it that the ant was talking about. There's a potato. Do you guys remember what I'm saying? I'm going to keep going back right now while I ramble, so I'm going to be reading this and then rambling and then looking for it, and I feel like it's at the end of this right here. It's not mythological. Oh, here we go. I'm going to go back to this. That's how fucking dedicated I am. Have you ever heard of a lynx? I asked. She shook her head. It's another creature in that encyclopedia. It looks like a potato, but it has a mouthful of sharp teeth. That's it. I thought there might have been more to it, like the gruel where it just makes your life fucking hell. But no, it's just a potato with teeth. Maybe they're implying that under the sink there's a lot of crazy shit that happens. Anyway, I am Dune. This has been Dune Reads Goosebumps. I'm not even going to lie to you and say I'm going to try to get them going more often now, because I'm going this weekend to Vegas, and then 2 weeks I'm going to England for a week. Oh, and I'll be doing more podcasts with the guys from Quiet Panelologists at Work and The Hat Decides, which also those guys are in the new Doctor Who and Star Trek The Next Generation comic crossover in IDW. They're worked into the artwork, they're Borgs, which is fucking cool as hell. But anyway, I'll be doing those podcasts. I did a couple of them already. They'll probably be up by now. And then I got to go to a bachelor party in Phoenix, Arizona. And then I got to go to WonderCon. And I'm also in somewhere in that time going to girlfriend's cousin's wedding. I have so much shit going on. But I don't have Giovanni staying here anymore, which I'm not saying it's like it's a bad thing. I'm saying it as in a this is time alone. And I rarely have time alone. The girlfriend's here 4 or 5 nights a week.
And then I got a drinking problem. So it's very rare that I can do the goosebumps, you know. So, I'm Dune. This is Dune Reads Goosebumps. If you're sticking with me this long, damn, I wish I had some sort of awesome, rare advice, but I don't. So, you know, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Stay spooky, bitches.